The New Year's Eve ball drop in Times Square has been on the bucket list for Ward and Amy Taft since they were married 23 years ago. Unfortunately, it just kept getting put off. They had two daughters, and then 14 deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, and other locations for Ward. The Navy senior chief suffered multiple injuries during those deployments, including a combat-related vehicle accident in a convoy that ended his Navy career in 2013. And just last year, the renovation of their North Carolina home to make it ADA adaptive was short-circuited by Hurricane Florence, which forced them to start the process all over again. But the Big Apple ball drop remained a dream, and this year it will come true, with a visit to New York and Times Square for the entire family, including 21-year-old Isabella and 14-year-old Clara. The Taft family will be the guests of Hope for Warriors, a national nonprofit that hosts out-of-state service members and local Gold Star families and select service members for a dinner and to watch the ball drop in Times Square on New Year's Eve. And to talk to us about it is Amy Taft. Amy joins us on the phone from North Carolina. Amy, it's been a heck of a journey for you and your husband. Why don't you tell us, first of all, what's been going on lately?
So this year has kind of been a very busy year. In 2018, we were flooded out due to Hurricane Florence. And at the time that our house was flooded, it was also undergoing renovations because of my husband. They were making the home ADA compliant and so that he could get around a little bit easier. And so during that time, we lost probably about 80% of our belongings because they were all packed up in a storage container on our property, which went 8 feet underwater because of Hurricane Florence. So after a year, we were able to move back into our home. And but we did end up missing the holidays last year at home. So we spent last year for the holidays, we ended up in transit with none of our stuff and kind of making the best that we could out of the holidays. And so, you know, this year what we're doing is we're really just celebrating being home. So we were able to move back into the house. Our house is completely compliant with my husband's needs. So he is able to move around the house easily and enjoy it. And we are just very excited about finally being home and being able to celebrate back with the holidays again that we were not able to do last year.
Amy, tell us more about Hope for the Warriors.
So Hope for the Warriors has kind of been part of our journey since 2010. So my husband's injuries occurred in 2010, and we were introduced to them pretty much early in 2011. And Hope for the Warrior was kind of there for me initially just to provide some support as my new role of how to take care of an injured service member and to help us navigate. They also were very active in helping us during my husband's initial treatments down in the hospital and helped provide us some support for us as going back and forth between the hospital and here because we live in North Carolina and the hospital where he was being treated at was in Georgia. So they helped us some with making sure that we could go back and forth and see him. Since then, my husband has become very active with their sports programs. So he works with them through their golf and their fishing programs and is able to figure out how to stay active even with his injuries and the accommodations that he needs. So he is blind from the chest down and has lost his peripheral vision on the right side. And so they've been working with him pretty actively to help him get back to the point to where he can do things like golf and fish and meet other people that have injuries and kind of keep his spirits up as well.
Can you tell us how the injuries occurred?
Yes. So he started off with what they call a multi-blast injury. So my husband did multiple combat tours over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and just the multiple explosions that he experienced over there, the multiple blast wounds from impacts coming in, started his injury, you know, and kind of started rattling his brain is kind of the best way to put it, and causing some minor injuries. And then he was involved in a vehicular accident over in Iraq that was as a result of an IED explosion, which caused his vehicle to collide with another and went from the back of the vehicle through or into the front windshield. And that is probably the injury that caused the significant brain injury at that point in time. from that final impact. So as a combination between the multi-blast wound and then hitting the windshield of this vehicle, he ended up with a moderate brain injury.
It's amazing to hear you talk about this in such a manner. It had to be such an emotional time for you to go through, not only being the wife of a retired Navy senior chief, but 14 deployments.
7 of those being combat related. You know, it starts to wear on you. And you start to kind of weigh that game between letting them back out the door again and do the job that they signed up for and keeping the stability at home. We have 2 girls that are 7 years apart. And one of them was very young whenever he was going over to combat. The other one was right at that age to where she understood the risk of dad leaving. So trying to make sure that emotionally I was meeting the needs of both of the girls at home, not letting one have too much information and making sure that I was keeping the other one informed as much as she needed to. When he came home, the kind of emotional compounder was the fact of how the girls reacted to their father. It used to be that the girls would run right up to Ward and would be right there to grab his legs and to give him a hug and to say hello. Part of the moderate brain injury that he received was a frontal lobe injury, which caused his emotions to be all over the board. So one minute he would be just fine. The next minute he would have explosive anger outbursts. And so my children learned no longer to run up to dad whenever he came in the door. Instead, they would go and hide in their rooms because they never knew which dad was coming in the door. So I think emotionally, that was probably one of the hardest things of recovery, was trying to figure out myself how to meet the needs of everybody. And I kind of lost myself in that process. And again, it was Hope for the Warrior that provided some really good caregiver support that kind of gave me the structure I needed to take care of myself. I mean, it's cliche. You hear it all the time. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. But whenever you're walking through a situation that is so emotionally and physically charged as that, it's very easy not to take care of yourself. And so I was really thankful for the fact that somebody was there to step in and say, hey, number one, you're not being selfish if you do take care of yourself. Number two, here are some very concrete ways that you can do that. So, you know, learning the tools of how to go and take advantage of my girls being 7 years apart and telling the oldest one, I'm going to go take an hour bath and soak in the tub and give myself a mental break. You need to watch your sister. And giving myself permission to do that were some of the tools that Hope for the Warrior were really there to help me learn.
Amy, do you think there's enough talk out there about the families who are really, you know, impacted? We know that, you know, the soldiers and the officers are, you know, putting their lives at risk, but really the family goes through so much, and especially when it's something like that happened to Ward, the whole family, you know, has to deal with it.
Right. I don't think so. I think that so we are turning the tide, and I think that the caregivers are starting to get the attention that they need. Where I really think that we're missing the mark as a nation is the children. There are over 250,000 children right now in this nation that are living in a home where there is an injured service member or a veteran. And these children have kind of been pushed wayside. And, you know, this is a soapbox I could get on and probably stay on forever because I have made it my mission, my personal mission, in this past year as well, to make sure that these children are not forgotten. They're here in Onslow County. So we live in a very small county. We're probably only about 150,000 people in our county. And one year we had 8 teenagers commit suicide. And out of those 8, 7 of them were military connected in some way, form, or fashion. And, you know, everybody's just glossing over the fact that there are children that are coming along through this, and not just the deployments and not just the combat tours, but they're still here whenever these guys are coming home with injuries. And now their world looks so different than that of their peers. You know, they're going into a home to where a dad may have an amputation and they know nobody else whose dad has an amputation or mom. Or they go into a home that, like I said, the emotions are skyrocketing. And, you know, you have a teenager that already doesn't know how to deal with their own emotions, and you put them in an environment where the entire family is now on an emotional roller coaster, you know, where other families have stability in the home. These kids never have a stable day. Their day-to-day may be in and out of a hospital. Their day-to-day may be, you know, a parent having to make multiple trips to a hospital. They're not able to plan events because they may plan an event with a friend and there may be an emergency that comes up with their parent. And the plans have to be changed, and they can no longer go out with their friend. So I think as a country, we have to do a better job of acknowledging the family unit and especially the children that are coming along in this aftermath of this series of combat deployments we've seen.
We're speaking with Amy Taft here on the WBGO Journal. She, her husband Ward, and their two daughters are headed to New York City for the New Year's Eve ball drop in Times Square, thanks to the nonprofit national organization Home for Warriors. Ward was injured after several deployments, 14 of them in fact, including a combat-related vehicle accident in a convoy that ended his Navy career in 2013. So, Amy, what more can be done to help the children who are impacted by these soldier injuries? Are we talking more counseling? What are we talking about?
You know, it's funny because at first everybody thought that the initial push should be counseling. I have actually spent the past year and a half studying this in my professional life. And honestly, what studies are showing us is that these children need more peer-to-peer support. They need to be in situations to where they can talk to other people that are their age that have experienced similar things. So if we can push funds, if we can push attention, if we can push anything towards organizations that allow children to get with other children that are like them and provide that ongoing communication and ongoing support in hand with counseling whenever they get to a point that they need it, then that right there has kind of been a proven model. So they've used the same model with grief from children who have had a parent that has died. And the model is probably about 95%, around 95% successful with children who are grieving a parent that has died. And I honestly feel like that is the key, is providing ongoing support with these children, giving them resiliency tools so that they can continue to rebound after every hurdle that they're thrown, and then help them find ways to communicate better and advocate better for themselves with their needs within the family unit. And then just allow the communities to wrap around and support these children.
How has your older daughter been able to work with your younger daughter in dealing with this? I know that you mentioned that helping you out when needed, but what's been the dynamic between the two?
Yep. So my girls, like I said, are 7 years apart. And I think that one of the best things that has happened from that time frame is that my older daughter really has been able to come aside of my younger daughter and help her gain the tool set that she needed to do this. So she's kind of been her cheerleader the whole time. When my daughter has gone to her and said, I don't know what to do anymore. I just don't feel like anything I do is the right thing to do, because no matter what I do, sometimes the emotions swing the wrong way with Dad. She's been able to sit down and explain to her and say, look, I understand. I felt the same way whenever I was your age, too. But keep doing what you're doing that's right. Know that I'm here for you. Know that Mom's here for you. Know that Dad loves you no matter what. And that this is a result of the brain injury. This is not Dad. This is his brain. We call it a pickle brain in our family. Like I said, my daughter was only 5 years old whenever this happened. And that was how she could describe it, was Dad has a pickle brain. It's not the same as the rest of us. And so my oldest daughter will remind her of that. Remember, this is not Dad. This is the pickle brain talking. This is, you know, Dad's injury talking. And she's really been able to be there and support her, as well as, you know, I hate to say it, but she's also had to step up and kind of be the person to fill in sometimes. So we've tried to keep the youngest one's schedule as solid as possible. So if there was an event planned and my oldest daughter was home and I couldn't take her, my oldest daughter would step in and take her. It's not an ideal situation. I never wanted my children to have to grow up as fast as they did, but it is a result of what happened. And they accept that, and they're fine with the fact that their lives do not look like everybody else's. But they are there for each other, even now. So my oldest daughter is at college, 7.5 hours away. My youngest one, thankfully, to social media. Everybody talks about how horrible it is, but that is their connection, is social media. And the fact that my youngest child knows that my oldest is there with just a click of a button, and her sister's there to support her. And she not only has the support of her sister, she has the support of her sister's 4 closest friends that she can contact with just the click of a button if she needs to talk or, get advice on something or work through something.
You mentioned that Isabella is going to Western Carolina University, and she just marched in the Macy's Day Parade, and now she'll be at Times Square. So kind of a really nice time for her to have a little bit of joy, too.
Yes, that is what we are so excited about. So, I have to remind everybody that through all of this, our family's motto has been that we are celebrating. My husband brought home a lot of caskets, unfortunately. And in our family, we've always been thankful that despite the brain injury, he came home. He was able to be here. And this year, we're just continuing on that celebration. So, like you said, we went up to Macy's. We were all able to see her march in the Macy's Day Parade, and now we're going back to Times Square. And for us, this whole experience, we've called it our bucket list season. So we have always watched, since the girls have been little, since I've been little, we have always watched Times Square and the ball drop in Times Square. And it's always been one of those things that was kind of like, oh, wouldn't that be cool? But it was completely out of our reach. It was one of those things that we never dreamed that we would do. We never dreamed that we would go and see Macy's Day Parade live and in person. And so whenever we got the call from Hope for the Warrior and they said, hey, we would like to invite your family to come up to New Year's Eve and see the ball drop. The first thing I did was look at my husband and say, do you think this is possible? Because with the brain injury and with everything else, sometimes it's not an ideal situation. And he has trust in Hope for the Warrior, and he had a lot of trust in the organizers and said, okay, if we're going with them, we're going to make this through, and we can do this. And I said, okay, great. So got his approval first. My daughter, I had to wait for her to get out of classes, so I called her up in college, and I was like, guess what? And she goes, what? And I said, we're going to go see the ball drop in Times Square. I said, Hope for the Warrior gave us a call, asked us if we wanted to do this. Your dad thinks he can do it. Like, we're going. And you could just hear, it wasn't quite the screech and the phone drop, but you could hear the excitement in her voice. Our youngest daughter, we have a hard time. We always give her a hard time and kind of play tricks on her. Whenever we told her, she thought we were joking. And she says, well, maybe I'll think about it. And I said, really? You have to think about it? Like, you might not want to do this with the family? And she just looked at me and said, are you serious? And I said, yes, I'm serious. Like, this is, we've been invited by Hope for the Warrior to go up and do this. And Dad thinks that he can do it. And we're going to go for it. And she did get the squeal. So the 14-year-old did let out the squeal and was really excited. But I cannot think of a better way to put 2019, kind of to rest than us being back in New York City again. My family loves to visit the city. This will be our 4th trip, and we've always had a good time in the city. But to be able to be there when 2019 is put to rest and to start 2020 out in a way like this is just unbelievable. I just cannot, every time we think about it, we get more and more excited. And just cannot even think about what the experience is going to be like.
The FDNY and the NYPD also helping out, understand they actually create the spot through the organization to make this happen, right?
Yes. And I cannot. So we have always considered the fire departments and the police departments our brothers and sisters. I think sometimes they get overlooked, but the military, and especially my family, has always had kind of a kindred spirit, because they are doing the same things that our military is doing, but they're doing it on military soil. And it may not be going to combat, but it is keeping our streets safe. And in many places, that is probably the same thing as going to combat overseas. And so I just am greatly appreciative of the fact that that they are there able to make this possible for us, that they are there to reach out their hands across the board. And, you know, we have always had just a wonderful reception by the NYPD and the fire departments whenever we've been up there. Anytime that we've been up there and they find out that my husband is a veteran, it's always an immediate thanks for your service, thanks for your sacrifice. And I just want to look at them and say, you know, thank you for your service and your sacrifice, because you're doing it every day here at home. And, you know, again, just huge thanks to them.
Amy Taff, first of all, congratulations on 23 years of marriage. That's great in itself. And your strength and your courage, as well as Ward's, we thank you very much for taking the time out to tell your story. And have a wonderful new year in Times Square. And I hope your family has the best of times.
Thank you. You too. And happy new year to you as well.